Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. Although this week all of the news outlets are talking about Trump's trial in Manhattan, I'll someday get around to that. On this week's program, it's back to talking about climate alarmism, the global warming movement, since there is a new anti-climate alarmism documentary that just came out called Climate the Movie, The Cold Truth, which I highly recommend. A week doesn't go by without some new story about climate change ideologues blaming the weather on climate change, working to get rid of gas-powered cars, gas stoves, fossil fuels. Additionally, climate change is now being used as a wedge to push Marxist socialist ideology. So there is now climate justice, climate equality, and climate gender equality. And all of the wars and immigration is being caused by climate change. Every time I come across an article about climate change and climate policy, I cut it and paste it into a file. And over the years, I've compiled a huge list of articles. In fact, you can go to any conservative website and search their climate change article database, and you can get plenty to read. Here are just a few examples. The Biden administration proposes to block half of current gas range models. New York City has already banned gas stoves. Yes, gas is the cleanest way to heat, but that's not good enough. Even the amount of gas that stoves use has to be cut in half. The Biden administration has also placed a ban on liquid gas exports because climate alarmists believe liquid gas may hurt the climate. Here's a report. Biden invokes wartime powers to fund electric heaters as he cracks down on gas appliances. Now, this is just an example of how much these people believe the climate change myth. It's their existential threat. And here's an article. Biden and Democrats still want to spend $30 billion to fund a climate corps, hiring 20,000 young people to go around and push for and police environmental justice and clean energy. And here's this article. There's a federal mandate, of course, to include climate alarmism in the public school curriculum. And here's this article. Democrats, of course, are working to ban all gas-powered cars. 9 states have already banned gas-powered cars for sale by 2035. California has already implemented the 2035 ban. And New Jersey is to ban all gas-powered vehicles by 2035. Officials say it's the only way to fight climate change. Kamala Harris unveils $5 billion for electric school buses. You know, the whole thing's nonsense, one big fantasy, one big waste of money. The climate ideology is resulting in disastrous business and economic decisions. The climate change movement has a goal of eliminating all fossil fuel emissions, no fire, no CO2 emissions. And I guarantee you that if someday they are successful in eliminating all gas-powered vehicles, that will not be enough. A few years after we're all driving electric vehicles, they're going to work to ban electric cars. Because this is about more than warming temperatures. Fear of warming temperatures is simply a way to get to their real goal, living in submission to nature. Whereas in Genesis, God told man to subdue the earth, paganism believes the earth needs to subdue man. Is climate change a religion? Well, Duke Divinity School gave Greta Thunberg an honorary degree in theology. You remember the climate activist Greta Thunberg?
People are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you?
And that is James chapter 3, not wisdom from above, but wisdom that's from below, earthly, natural, demonic. Well, by the way, Duke Divinity School is the seminary that held services proclaiming that God is queer. Here's a story. Climate activists are targeting the advertisers of media outlets that deny climate change. A British group called the Center for Countering Digital Hate, which has reportedly already worked with the White House, is pressuring big tech companies in the U.S. to target so-called new denial of climate change. Then there's the carbon credit tax scam that's never used to actually help the environment, but it's a leftist slush fund. Then there's the wind turbine scam. They're inefficient, they're costly, they hurt the environment more than they help. Then there's also CO2 sequestration, where the federal government is actually paying out billions of dollars under Biden's Deficit Reduction Act to have companies capture CO2, liquefy the CO2, and pump it underground. But all you have to do is let it go into the atmosphere, and the trees and the grass will consume the CO2. The consequence of teaching climate alarmism for 30 years is climate doomers, young people who are giving up on everything. And there's also eco-terrorism, climate activists resorting to violence. Activists showed up at the National Archives in Washington and poured red powder on a display case holding the U.S. Constitution, chanting, "Everyone is going to die." Biden calls climate change deniers Neanderthals. And Trump vows to overturn Biden's anti-American EV mandate on day one. Newsweek says a vote for Trump is a vote for an environmental apocalypse. Here's my contention in a nutshell. I believe that Christians, the Christian church, the Christian religion, needs to oppose and refute the global warming movement. It's a biblical mandate from Titus chapter 1 that ministers of the gospel must exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers, and deceivers who must be silenced because they're upsetting whole households, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. The climate change movement is a religion, like Taoism, or Buddhism, or Shintoism, or pantheism, or naturism, or paganism. It's not science. It's based on faith. It superimposes a metaphysical, ideological worldview on the physical data. It puts forth a different gospel, a different gospel objective, a different mission, a different number one world problem and solution. It even proposes a different apocalypse from the message Christians believe God has revealed through Scripture. For secular humanists, the religion of climate change becomes a substitute morality and a substitute purpose for life. Having rejected the Christian message, the alternative is to live for nature and Mother Earth, even to the point of making up a false crisis in order to believe one is saving the planet. This happened in the ancient pagan world, and it's happening today. In the religion of climate change, to work for the environment is salvation. To work against the environment is damnation. The moral pollution of sexual immorality, theft, murder is de-emphasized, and environmental pollution is overemphasized. It's a very subtle inversion that's happened as America abandons God and God's guiding truth. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 11, has a nation changed gods when they were not gods, But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. And the land is polluted. But it's a moral sin pollution in the human heart. Isaiah chapter 24, verse 5, the earth is also polluted by its inhabitants, for they transgressed laws, violated statutes, and broke the everlasting covenant. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 2, you pollute the land with your harlotries and your wickedness. And the prophet even goes on to say that the real pollution in the world is the religion of naturism itself. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 9, because of the lightness of her harlotry, she polluted the land and committed adultery with stones and trees, which is a reference to the ancient practice of worshiping nature, which is actually what's polluting the land. Seriously, these climate alarmists and politicians are infatuated with the weather. The ultimate shallow conversation in any elevator, but this is their priority. This becomes their life mission. They pick out the gnat and they swallow the camel. They neglect the weightier matters of the law, as it says in Matthew chapter 23. And yet the pathetic irony of the whole thing is there is no provable man-made global warming. The last 40 years, the beginning of every decade, climate alarmists have said, we only have 10 years left. And they've been proven wrong each time. Their alarmism is just conjecture based upon flawed computer models. Because the data inputted and the assumptions about CO2 are ideological myth. But all that doesn't matter because climate alarmism is not about science. It's about the religion of naturalism. And in almost every global warming program I've ever done, I have to mention Al Gore's philosophy in his book, The Earth and the Balance. Vice President Al Gore was the father of the global warming movement. A quote from his book, Native American religions offer a rich tapestry of ideas about our relationship to the earth. Then he quotes from an Indian chief. Will you teach your children what we have taught our children? That the earth is our mother. This we know. The earth does not belong to man. Man belongs to the earth. All things are connected like blood that unites us all. That's a complete reversal of what Genesis says about man's relationship to the earth. Then Al Gore goes on to praise pre-Christian pagan Europe, which worshiped nature. He writes, prehistoric Europe and much of the world was based on the worship of a single earth goddess who was assumed to be the fount of all life and who radiated harmony among all living things. The last vestige of organized goddess worship was eliminated by Christianity. It seems obvious that a better understanding of a religious heritage preceded our own by so many thousands of years, and it can offer us new insights, unquote Al Gore. So like all radical environmentalists, Al Gore is turning back to paganism for his understanding of man and nature. And it's one in which man serves the earth rather than the earth serving man. And that philosophy has many policy implications. And that's why Christendom must refute and expose the climate change movement because it's a false religion contrary to God's revelation. However, that obvious conclusion shouldn't be taken for granted because there are some professing Christians who claim the church shouldn't comment on climate alarmism because it's not a gospel issue. And since the public is thoroughly indoctrinated in climate alarmism, any word the church says against it may cause us to lose a hearing with the public. So apparently we should just go along with it, or at least ignore it, so as not to create any barriers against the gospel. After all, the world might call the church climate deniers, anti-science, backward. So we should go along with the science, science of the day for the sake of not giving offense. And this is the same reason why some professing Christians have said we need to go along with evolution, a false cosmology of the origin of creation. And this is the same reason why some say we should go along with LGBTQ and transgenderism. But the error is in having a very limited view of the gospel, as if the gospel is only about Jesus Christ being the Savior. And he's that, but what is he saving us from? And if he's to be the Savior, that means choosing other things and other people not to be the Savior. Coming to Christ means repenting and turning from naturism, paganism, pantheism. And Christian sanctification is all about coming to have a Genesis chapter 1 biblical view of both tending the earth and subduing the earth. Christ's commission to his people wasn't just to teach about the cross of Christ, but to make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all that he commanded. And the New Testament compels Christians to teach and defend all truth: theological truth, political truth, mathematical truth, scientific truth, natural revelation truth, because God has something to say about all truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3, the church is to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. The world should look to the church for the truth. We're to always tell the truth and leave the results up to God. When we tell a truth in any area, in the short term, it may hurt the church. But in the long term, it always builds up the church. Because by telling the truth, God's truth is proven to be right, and the world and the culture proven to be wrong. And if God's word is proven right in temporal earthly things, people can then trust the church and God's word in regard to eternal things. But if the church is silent and jumps on the wrong bandwagon, communism, transgenderism, environmentalism, fascism, DEI, when those ideologies collapse, and they will collapse and bring much pain, the name of Christ and his people are discredited. I believe more people will be attracted to God's word and be saved by the church refuting errors in the culture, as long as it's done in love and with a proper balance. Well, having said all that by way of introduction, I want to discuss this new anti-global warming documentary that just came out in March entitled Climate the Movie, The Cold Truth. It was produced by Martin Durkin, a libertarian British journalist and a television producer. Back in 2007, he produced the documentary The Great Global Warming Swindle. And of course, he's a man hated by the left and considered a leading climate change denier. And this new documentary is an update on the situation. And there are interviews from leading climate scientists who refute the global warming ideology. John Clauser, Nobel Prize winner in physics. Stephen Goddard, a Los Alamos geologist. William Happer, Princeton University physicist. Richard Lindzen, a meteorologist at Harvard, Stephen Koonin, NYU physicist, Patrick Moore, co-founder of Greenpeace, and the list goes on and on of scientists who are speaking against the fake science of climate change. And what's really fascinating about this documentary is that these scientists don't pull any punches. They don't hold to the position that there is some man-made global warming, but it's not a crisis. No, these scientists state that the whole man-made global warming movement is a myth. It's a scam. They don't yield an inch to the other side. And given what I've learned, that's the only way to win the day. Now, what we've noticed is that many conservative journalists and commentators, conservative media sites, have yielded to the social pressure and are agreeing with, you know, man-made global warming, but they try to downplay the apocalyptic models. They may even be doing this as a strategy to undermine climate activists. Here's an interesting article. Climate change activists despise these commentators who agree with global warming but will not agree with the apocalyptic predictions. They call these people new deniers. Quote, paranoid about losing the rhetoric debate over climate change, leftist panic mongers are expanding the definition of climate deniers to include those who agree with the overall broad contention that the climate is changing, but question the dire and catastrophic consequences of it. Now they have contrived another term, new denier, to describe those who embrace the climate change theory, but doubt climate change solutions, or claim that global warming might be a good thing. Well, regardless of the reaction, agreeing with the CO2 global warming premise is still yielding ground to a lie. And it is better for the public to hear the truth that the whole thing is a scam. By the way, in addition to this new documentary by Martin Durkin, which you can watch for free on YouTube, it's about an hour and 19 minutes, check out the website co2coalition.org. And there you can get all of the fun facts about climate change, about how CO2 is not a pollutant, but necessary for plant life. You know, the irony of the climate change movement is that if we want to be more green, we need to produce more CO2, not less. And that's a proven fact. More CO2 in the atmosphere means more plants thrive on Earth. The greener the planet becomes, and isn't that a twist? Plant life is starving for more CO2. We are at a CO2 low in the history of mankind. CO2 in the past has been as high as 7,000 parts per million, and now it's at 430 parts per million. And if it falls below 150 parts per million, every green thing on Earth will die. So it is really unfortunate that we don't have more fossil fuels to burn to raise CO2 levels. CO2 is the gas of plant life. The fateful day back in 2009 was when climate change ideologues at the EPA legally declared CO2 to be a pollutant, thereby being able to regulate CO2 with all anti-pollution laws. So, climate alarmists are actually saying the opposite of what is true. And their claims will actually hurt the environment. And that's the way these things always turn out. And this is one of my longstanding axioms, that in the end, any ungodly ism that claims to help people will hurt people. From Marxism to feminism to transgenderism to naturalism. And if CO2 is good, climate ideologues end up being, as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, haters of the good. Or Isaiah chapter 5, they call evil good and good evil. These people do to material science what they've already done to sexual immorality. But I digress. This new documentary, Climate, the Cold Truth, begins explaining the subject. Quote, this is the story of how an eccentric environmental scare grew into a powerful global industry. This is the story of self-interest and big government funding. This is the story of the corruption of science. This is the story of the bullying and intimidation of any who challenges climate alarm. And this is the story of an assault on individual freedom. The documentary is divided into about 8 segments. First, the science of temperature, that the current temperatures are actually colder now than in the past. We're at the end of an ice age period. Temperatures rose in the 1930s, they dropped again in the 1970s, and they rose again slightly in the 1990s, but on average, there has been no long-term change. The second and third segments are about the science of CO2. CO2 is not a factor in temperature changes on Earth. The activity of the sun is the main cause. But for climate alarmists, the sun cannot be considered. It must be CO2 emissions. It must be man-made. Otherwise, there's no crisis for the government to address and pay for. All the climate models get it wrong because they operate on the wrong assumption that CO2 actually warms the planet. Also, the polar ice caps are not melting. As in this Wall Street Journal piece, don't believe the hype about Antarctic's melting glaciers. And there are no more extreme weather events now than in the past. You know, for decades, it's been put into the heads of the public that every time the weather is bad, it's due to man-made climate change, CO2, but that's a falsehood. Even the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, admits there have been no proven increases in adverse weather conditions based on man-made climate change. Patrick Moore, the co-founder of Greenpeace, quote, "There is no truth to the idea that the Earth is warmer now than it has been in the past. It's a lie. And there's no truth that CO2 is higher now than it should be. That's a lie." Segment 4 is called The Consensus. That the reason scientists are agreeing with the climate change narrative is because the government is giving out billions of dollars in grants to scientists to research and write about climate change. If you're going to do a study on some social issue, you better include in the grant application that you're also studying climate change if you expect to get funded. Quote, "Climate alarm was a godsend for scientists who are supported by government grants. It justifies their existence. And your funding ends if you don't find evidence of climate change, and that totally corrupts the system. There is a financial interest to play up the alarm. And if you don't play the game, you'll be ostracized by your peers. That's the reason for the consensus. Follow the money. The government is paying out billions for climate change, and climate change they will get. Even Biden's Deficit Reduction Act, $750 billion, was the Green New Deal in disguise. And it handed out money to the Democrats' environmental constituency. Segment 5. It's called The Climate Bandwagon, How Climate Change Has Become a Whole Industry Employing Millions of People on the Taxpayers' Dime. And if there is no climate change crisis, these people no longer have a reason to be employed. Segments 6 through 7, The Politics of Climate. The growth of the climate movement is not just explained by those making money off of the climate industry. The broader appeal is the leftist Marxist policy that can be advanced by climate change. It's a wedge that can be used against free market capitalism. If there's a big crisis, it takes big government to save us all. Climate change is a wonderful way to increase government power by appealing to an existential threat. The climate change consensus is a weapon used to fight for bigger government and social spending. With climate change, everything you do can be controlled by government because what you do might risk the survival of mankind. And anyone who disagrees with state policy can be labeled and prosecuted as being a threat to human safety. Segment number 4, Climate Versus the Poor, which is all about how the elites in their climate change movement hurt the third world. Because the poor need more oil and gas, more fossil fuel fertilizers, which is all being opposed by ivory chair environmentalists in the West. So the conclusion of the documentary is that common people need to rise up. There needs to be an anti-establishment movement. And as Christians, we realize that that's not the solution. That's going to only result in more problems. The solution is always to preach the truth. The gospel about man's sin before God and the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. That actually has the unseen effect of pulling the rug out from under the basic premises of the climate movement. And it puts the emphasis and the energy back where it should be, on personal moral repentance. And that the cause for all of our problems is really moral pollution, not the temperature of the planet. So I recommend this new documentary, Climate, the Cold Truth. As I mentioned, you can watch it for free on YouTube. And I'm actually showing it at my church this Sunday night at 6 p.m. But someone might ask, you know, why would a church be showing a secular documentary? Well, because this whole documentary illustrates and gives current commentary on biblical truth. Let me give you three significant biblical lessons we can learn from the climate alarmism movement. First, secular humanists have always professed to be all about science and fact, not faith and superstition. But notice this, in the end, without God guiding their minds, they end up becoming non-science and falling into all sorts of superstitious paganism. Modern man without God is actually regressing. Romans chapter 1, verse 22, professing to be wise, they become fools. And like the ancient idolaters who worship nature, Isaiah 44, they feed on ashes. A deceived heart has turned them aside, and they cannot deliver themselves or say, is there not a lie in my right hand? Second truth is that people are sinners. People by nature are corrupt and evil. Romans chapter 3, they have all turned aside. They have together become useless. There's none who does good, no, not one. With their tongues, they keep deceiving. Destruction and misery are in their path. The way of peace they have not known. They don't know the way to God and to truth. And there's no fear of God before their eyes. Science is run by people who are scientists. And scientists, like all people, are sinners. They're not so unbiased and objective as people assume. Like everyone else, they will lie, cheat, and steal. They'll steal from the taxpayers in order to get a paycheck. For unprincipled people, truth is negotiable when it comes to getting a job. And this biblical world of man's sinful nature is not really believed by the public. They don't accept God's assessment. And that's the main reason why the general public buys into the global warming scam. People just have a hard time believing that so many scientists and politicians could be so wrong and deluded to say the exact opposite of the truth. The public has too much of a Pollyannish view of the world, but history has shown that the zeitgeist of the age, the spirit of the age in many centuries, has been a lie. The experts can be wrong. But if you have in your mind an exalted view of humanity, you will resist that truth of man's depravity. You'll end up trusting people too much. And why? Maybe because you trust yourself and your own infallibility too much. And furthermore, if the experts are getting this wrong, what else are they getting wrong? And this brings me to my third and final point, the fact that so many citizens, the media, academia, and politicians are willing to go along with a false narrative, a consensus, a mass psychosis, a groupthink, is a harbinger of bad things to come. God is preparing and warning the church about a greater delusion to come. Scripture prophesies that someday the whole world will fall into a mass psychosis and go after an antichrist globalist government, and a leader who will probably claim to be a savior of a made-up crisis. Revelation 13:8, all who dwell on the earth will worship the beast. And 2 Thessalonians 2:11, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false in order that they may be judged, who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. So what we're seeing in the global warming hysteria, even in the COVID hysteria, is how the public can believe a lie and then even persecute those who do not go along with a lie, claiming that the deniers of the lie are an existential threat to the survival of mankind. And that's why climate alarmism is so alarming. So thanks for listening. Appreciate your comments below. Don't forget to subscribe to help the cause. May the will of God be done on earth even as it is in heaven. And may Jesus Christ reign.